Let us pray. Gracious Father, we ask you to help us to rely on you for all of our strength, that we too may mount up with wings like eagles and soar in your presence. We ask this, as always, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read for you all of Isaiah chapter 40. It's a great chapter. I don't have a whole lot to say about it. So listen carefully. Isaiah 40. And if you want to follow along, I think the version I have here is what's in the Bibles in front of you. Isaiah 40. I'll give you 10 seconds to find it. If you open up to the middle, you'll either be in Psalms or Isaiah. If you're in Psalms, you'll want to go a little further to the back. If you're in Isaiah, you want to find chapter 40. Okay. And I'm pretty sure. Yeah, New Revised Standard Version. So we should have the same version. Okay. Isaiah chapter 40. If I'd have been smart, I'd have found the page number and I could have given you that, but 577? 517. 517. Isaiah chapter 40. This begins part two of Isaiah. We scholars divide it up into three parts, and this is part two, where he gets more hopeful and more promising to the people of God. Okay. Isaiah 40. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Which means it's paid up. Her punishment is done. No more. It's not so much that she really got twice as much as she should have, but that nothing was left out. The punishment is completely over. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall be made shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. That is, here today, gone tomorrow. Huh? Here for a season and then gone. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Why is he saying this? Because we realize that, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, with the flowers and the grass and the people. Here today, gone tomorrow. But God's word will last forever. So no matter how long we have to wait for the Lord's word to come to pass, it will happen. God never lies. So when he says in the beginning, comfort, comfort my people, that will happen. Comfort will come. Now they're in the midst of the exile. They're living away from home. And these are words of hope that God will restore them. But they must depend on him and wait for him. Verse 9, get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice from that high mountain with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or as his counselor has instructed him? Who has done the things that God has done? Who has given God any advice? God doesn't need our advice. God doesn't need our intelligence. 14, whom did he consult for his enlightenment? And who taught him the path of justice? None of us. Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? None of us. Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. See, he takes up the isles like fine dust. So great and mighty and powerful is our God that he simply, between his index finger and his thumb, he picks up the islands. I mean, you got to picture these things. Lebanon would not provide fuel enough, nor are its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are counted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. So great is he that in comparison, the nations are nothing. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A workman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. As a gift, one chooses mulberry wood, wood that will not rot. Then seeks out a skilled artisan to set up an image that will not topple. I mean, we got to make sure that it's bottom heavy so that it's not easily knocked over. Have you not known? Our lesson begins today. Have you not heard? Don't you remember? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. You ever gone up on a pretty high skyscraper and you look, you know, you kind of squeeze yourself against the window and you look down and you see all the cars look like matchboxes. And all the people look like ants or grasshoppers, huh? That's step out and crush you easily underfoot, huh? Reach down and pick you up between my fingers. How small we are. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. How easy is that? Have you ever put up curtains? Have you ever, sometimes it's difficult, right? But, you know, you hang it up and you go, and you move it to the side and you move it back to the other side. Nothing to it, huh? He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Nothing to it. He brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. So great is he. Scarcely are the rulers planted, scarcely sown in their place to lead their people. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither. And the tempest carries them off like stubble. So great is our God. And he's not saying that the people of the nations are not important to him. It's just the difference. To whom then will you compare me, he says. Who's my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see the stars. Who created these? He who brings out the host of the stars and numbers them. He can count that high. Calls them all by name. The stars aren't a number. You know how we hate being a number? And, you know, they say, what's your account number? They don't care what your name is. They want to know what your account number is. The stars aren't numbers. They have names. They have names. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. He doesn't miss one. They're all there. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? My way is hidden. It's like, God can't see me here. God can't see me. Is it possible to hide from God? Huh? And my right, the justice I deserve, my justice, is disregarded by my God. He doesn't care about being fair to me, giving me what is needed. At least that's what I think. Have you not known? There the question is again. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God who declare... Turned too many pages, I'm sorry. The Lord is an everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. You ever been in the presence of a really brilliant person? I have a couple of times. It's amazing what they know and what they understand. And all the big words, I don't understand half of what they say. But they understand it, and it's marvelous. I had a couple of those people as professors at seminary. You got to be brilliant to be a professor at seminary. That's why I'm not there. See, you laugh because y'all know it's true. Okay. His understanding is unsearchable. We ask questions about the creation, about the way God put it all together and why and how. And we just marvel at it and we can't understand. If you read the last couple of chapters of the book of Job, that was God's question. Where were you when I set the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I told the waters this far and no farther? Why did I make the zebra and the lion and the ostrich and the duckbill platypus? Ah, that's the one I like. Duckbill platypus. Okay, all right. Why is there a zebra? What's the purpose of a zebra? Or a mosquito, or a duckbill platypus. It's like God had leftover parts, and he said, oh, let's make a duckbill platypus. And then he, you know, what is the purpose of a zebra? Oh, you brilliant people. To feed a lion. And what's the purpose of a lion? They sleep 20 hours a day, and they do two other things. They eat and they have sex. That's what wild animals do. Sleep, eat, and procreate. You know, they make more of the same. So why are they there? What kind of life is that? See, we don't understand. His understanding is unsearchable. Let's go on. Verse 29. So we're almost done. He gives, he who does not faint or grow weary gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Have you ever felt powerless in a situation? Your intellect is inadequate. Your physical strength is inadequate. Your size is inadequate. Your whatever it is, you can't measure up, and you feel powerless. You there's nothing you can do. Everybody else has all the power and the influence, and you're just there. You just have to go along with it, get blown by the wind, and he gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. So he knows when you are in that situation, and he's willing to grant you wisdom and strength and faith and whatever you need in that situation to do what you have to. Even youths, youths, people a lot younger than most of us, they still have lots of strength and energy and power and stamina. And, you know, I mean, we still know more than they do, but you know, they don't faint or grow weary. We're always saying, wait a minute, hold up. We can't keep up, right? But it says, even they will run out of energy. And the young will fall exhausted. But, do you love that word? But those who wait for the Lord. What does that word wait mean? It doesn't mean to lean on the wall and whistle a nice tune and twiddle your thumbs and just kind of hang around and wait for something to happen. It's not like, well, sooner or later they'll get here. Sooner or later it'll happen. We just have to be patient and wait. It's not that kind of waiting. It's the kind of waiting that involves prayer and preparation and excitement and energy, because God is going to come and do something. But we got to be ready, because when he gets here, we got to be ready for it. So when he does the thing, we're ready for it. It's that expectation and hope and joy of God's coming. Show me your God's coming face. God's coming. All right, some of you are excited. Okay. But those who wait for the Lord, nobody else, you're just waiting for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. When an eagle mounts up on the edge of their nest, they'll sit there for hours, I'm told, waiting. You know, now they're not all tensed up. They're sitting there ready. They're ready for when the air currents are just right, and then they just kind of go. I saw an eagle take off once. I mean, I've seen eagles take off several times, but this one time, it was in the little patch of woods next to our parsonage, and it's bald eagle, mature bald eagle, white head and white tail and all. I don't know where they came from, but he lands in one of the trees, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, he's just sitting there, and then all of a sudden, he goes, you know, up and down real easy, and before I know it, he's a half a mile away, just, you know, and he's gone. Beautiful. I love eagles and hawks and those big birds. Not the big yellow ones, you know, the big birds of prey. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings like eagles. So to mount up means, again, it's what you do when you wait. You're excited, you're prepared, you're ready, you're talking to God, you're ready, because God's coming. And they shall run and not be weary. Be able to do all that God has asked you to in his power. And they shall walk and not faint. Do you remember those days when you could walk forever and not get tired? Huh? Weren't those good days? Well, see, in the strength of the Lord, we can still do that. Not as fast and maybe not as long, you know, but we can still walk and do what we need to. We can still be there and let God work in us to get done what he calls us to do. But we have to wait for the Lord and mount up with wings like eagles. Because God is coming, whether you like it or not. And I don't mean for judgment. I mean for us right now. He's got ministries he wants us to do. He's got exciting things he wants us to get into. He wants to fix what's broken, and he wants to move us on to maturity as his people in this place. It's not going to be like it used to be in the 50s and 60s. We have to give that up. It's not going to be like it was in the 70s and 80s. We've got to give that up. It's not going to be like it was in the 90s and the 2000s. We've got to give that up. Because this is 2015. It's going to be like God wants it now. It probably won't look anything like it was. It's going to be better. You like better? I do too. BETTER, better. Okay. It's going to be better. You know why? Because starting today, you and I are going to get ourselves ready, and we are going to wait, and we are going to pray, and we're going to prepare, and we're going to listen to God. So when he gets here, we are ready to fly. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us sing about eagle's wings, because we are the ones who dwell in the shelter of the Lord.